Practicing what we preach is always a scary thing for preachers. But practicing what I preach took on a whole new meaning for me following the sermon that I offered you last Sunday. Reflecting on Dorothy's tornado and the storms of life, I encouraged all of us to consider that there is no yellow brick road in the real world. Only a path of discernment, which is best experienced in the context of a community like this. Practicing what I preach took on a whole new meaning when a storm struck the life of my entire family on Wednesday morning at 11:15 a.m. when our school in the community, which had only the day before been declared as the safest city in Minnesota, when our school was put on lockdown due to a confirmed threat. For the better part of 6 hours, thousands of Orono students, including two of my own children, sat in dark silence, not knowing whether they would survive what had begun as just another normal day at school, or if they would just be the next victims of what they have seen reported far too many times in their short lives. At the end of the day, the only difference between this school and others already so far in 2018, including the recent rampage in Parkland, Florida, the only difference is that no one was killed with a gun in Orono on Wednesday. Teachers, parents, neighbors, and most especially the students themselves have lost a sense of innocence and now reside in a place of permanent not knowing and ongoing fear. I will not put our kids' fears on par with the fears of kids in war-torn communities, places in our own nation that have daily violence, nor will I put our children's fears collectively on par with the fear and terror that any child who lives in a home of domestic violence. But in our developed country with freedom and justice, no child should have to live in fear. There is no pre-paved yellow brick road. It's a fancy way of saying that God does not create the storms of life or provide for us an easy escape. But God has given us the assurance of His presence. God has blessed us with one another to discern a path forward. And as one of my ninth grade son's friends declared to his mom before boarding the bus on Thursday, when she said to him, "You're so brave," he said back to her, "Mom, that's how we roll, always forward." I like that. I like that a lot. So in the interest of rolling forward, and in the context of this reality, let's turn our attention to what we stand to learn from the scarecrow, who wanted to know the truth. Let's see what we can learn from Jesus, who through that truth sets us free. And let's see what we stand to learn from the crucible of our own hearts in these few moments. But first, let's pray. Gracious and loving God, speak to us as a gift of your Spirit. Speak to us, for your church is listening. Amen. So, like the scarecrow, we are hung up. There he was, out in the middle of the field, right? The scarecrow, hung up on a post, stuck in one place, needing an encounter with one who would call him out and into new life, seeking knowledge and truth that would set him free. I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching, if I only had a brain. Well, like the scarecrow, we are indeed hung up, stuck in one place, often alone and feeling alone, needing an encounter with one that would lead us to new life, seeking knowledge and truth that sets us free. As the scarecrow sang, I'd unravel every riddle. Wouldn't you like to be able to unravel every riddle? For every individual who's in trouble or in pain, with the thoughts I'd be thinking, I could be another Lincoln. If I only had a brain. Now along comes Jesus. We've agreed that Jesus in Scripture will be the lens through which we look at all these characters. The characters from the show are not enough in and of themselves. We need the lens of Jesus to bring more meaning and depth to these characters. Along comes Jesus, which is our encounter with the living and loving God, and in whom we know the truth, and the one through which we are set free from our hang-ups. Friends, we are hung up like the scarecrow. We are hung up on many different posts in many different fields, but I would submit to you this morning, none so much as the hang-up we have with guns and violence. It's my conviction that we need to move this issue away from politics and into our moral hearts and into our creative minds. To follow our God-given impulse to love, to do what Jesus says, to continue in his word, to be his disciple, and in that we will know the truth, and that truth will set us free from whatever has us hung up. To know the truth that will set us free from our hang-ups, it's going to involve at least a few things. The first of which is to speak truth to bullshit. And I use that word for two very specific reasons. First of all, because those aren't my words. Those words belong to a research professor at the University of Houston named Brené Brown. Many of you are familiar with her work. She knows infinitely more than I do about human interrelationships and connectedness. But the second reason is because I wanted to give you the opportunity to judge for yourself what was more unsettling. That the kids in our nation, our community, and in our church live in fear, or that I used the word BS in church. Brené Brown has done a decade of research on maintaining authenticity and integrity when in debate and discussion have devolved from facts and truth to just emotional opinions. And along with a guy named Henry Frankfurt, who has surprisingly done a large measure of work on the topic of BS, they are together concerned with the prevalence of it in our civil and not so civil discourse. Frankfurt is the professor emeritus of philosophy at Princeton University. He distinguishes lying from BS in this way. He says, someone who lies and someone who tells the truth are playing on opposite sides, so to speak, in the same game. Each responds to the facts as he understands them, although the response of the one is guided by the authority of truth, while the response of the other defies that authority and refuses to meet its demands. The BSer ignores these demands altogether. He does not reject the authority of truth as the liar does and oppose himself to it. He pays no attention to it at all. By virtue of this, BS is a greater enemy of the truth than lies are. Let me put it really simply. Lying is the defiance of truth. BS is a wholesale dismissal of the truth. And in so much, BS then is a much greater threat to all of us, as it produces a lack of civility. It creates false dichotomies, and it has even allowed the idea of fake news to enter into our everyday language and our everyday experience of culture. But more importantly, Frankfurt points to a deeper source of all of this. He says that our skepticism and our denial that we can know the truth of how things truly are has led to the proliferation of BS. Our skepticism and denial that we can know the truth of how things truly are. It's caused sort of a collective cultural shrugging of our shoulders. And all of us together saying, well, whatever, you know, if there's no truth, I guess, except for what I say, or what my preferred cable news network says, or whatever somebody else in my bunker of certainty says, well, then, if that's all I got, that's enough. And you can see that we're all guilty of this. It's just in a really honest moment. I can't remember the last time somebody asked me my opinion about something, and I responded to them by saying, you know, I don't know. Can you tell me some more about that? No, I just fill the space with the dribble absence of fact and let my emotions run away. I don't know about you. Maybe you're having a different experience of our world right now. I just don't remember the last time somebody either confessed that they didn't know something about something or asked me to help them understand it together. It seems that in the interest of fitting in or picking sides, genuine curiosity and objective inquiry has been entirely replaced with BS. And truth is the only antidote to BS. And the truth, according to Jesus, is what will set us free. Free from anything that hangs us up. To know the truth that will set us free from our hang-ups is first to speak truth to BS. Secondly, it's to make a return to civility. Jesus spoke truth to BS when they dragged that woman into his presence. But it wasn't just what he spoke, it was how he spoke it. Kindly, generously, empathetically, with loving civility. He didn't lay into them about their hypocrisy as leaders. He didn't insult their traditions or their lies or their opinions. He didn't accuse them of anything. Instead, he treated them with loving civility. Now, civility feels like a term that would not fall into the realm of religious tradition, but I would say I think it fits right here with us. Here's a good definition I recently heard of civility. Civility is claiming and caring for one's identity, needs, and beliefs without degrading someone else's in the process. Sounds pretty religious to me. It sounds like high moral effort. Civility is about disagreeing without disrespect. It's seeking common ground as a starting point for dialogue about differences, listening past one's preconceptions and teaching others to do the same. Civility is the hard work of staying present, even with those with whom we have deep-rooted and fierce disagreements. Guess where that definition came from? Ironically, from the Institute for Civility in Government. There's good news in the midst of this, by the way. Civility is on the rise, at least the use of that term. So we're talking about it more. It hit its high point in about 1804. You know the little engram you can get through Google? It hit its high point in about 1804, and it was in decline until 1981. And then it made an uptick, and that word continues to be on the rise to this very day. So I am hopeful. I am optimistic about all of us and our wider society doing that. But it's really, really important that we make it a priority. Because the rise in BS has to outpace everything else that we're doing. The rise in BS has to be outpaced by our civility. There's a law called Brandolini's Law. Anybody heard Brandolini's Law? Brandolini's Law is an asymmetry principle that says the amount of energy needed to refute BS is an order of magnitude bigger than to produce it. Do you understand? It's a whole lot harder to work against BS than it is to create it. And so it's going to take every ounce of civility that we can muster. And it makes what Jesus did in the face of BS even more impressive. What did he do? Remember the passage. Most of you have heard it before. They bring her to him. They make the accusation. He pauses. He doodles in the dirt. We don't know what he doodled down there. There's lots of theories, and they're all very interesting. But at the end of the day, we don't know what he doodled. I think he was just buying time so that he could act with loving civility. He spoke truth. And in the end, he set them all free, not only the woman. Fear, ignorance, heightened emotions, all of these things, ingredients of BS, are transformed into grace and inquiry and empathy through civility. And they free us from our hang-ups. There's just one more for today. To know the truth that will set us free from our hang-ups is to be done with false dichotomies from now on and forever. The false dichotomies, like you're either with us or against us, right? I'm gonna say no more either ors, because they don't serve us and they don't serve the world. Either ors almost always come from a place of heightened emotion rather than facts and truth. And even when they're well intended, they're designed to divide us, which is exactly the opposite of what we need more than anything in the world right now. A false dichotomy, an either or, might feel really good in the moment because we get to pick a side, and that always feels good, and we feel so brave and courageous. But in the end, it doesn't serve the world. We should have learned from Kierkegaard's very first book by the same title, Either Or. Either or is a BS-based sorting tool. And we see it most often in the realm of politics. But let's be fair, it exists just as much, if not more, in religious circles as well. Anybody ever heard that you either claim Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, or you're going to hell? Anybody ever heard that? It's been perpetrated for centuries. Of course you've heard it. And I would submit to you that the more evangelical sorts are often accused of using that sort of either-or strategy in this regard. And I would remind you this last week, we lost a giant of faith in Billy Graham. I've shared with you the story of my mom helping me recite his prayer as the day that I received Jesus into my heart. Some people will put him in a bucket of either-or, but I have a different thought about that. It was in his retirement, it wasn't until late in his life, he said these words in an interview with Robert Schuller, he said, what God is doing today is calling people out of the world for his name. Whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world, they are members of the body of Christ because they have been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their hearts that they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light that they have, and I think that they are saved and that they are going to be with us in heaven. Not an either or. Jesus faced either ors. I think he faced them a lot. And he definitely faced them on this day when they dragged that woman into his presence. They said either she's guilty and she must die, or she's innocent and you can set her free. And Jesus said, well, hold on just a minute. What if she's guilty and we set her free? No more either ors. And while I'm on the subject of either ors, let me apologize to you because I dropped an either or on you at the beginning of the sermon when I suggested that you either care about our children or care about the language I use in the pulpit. It's possible to do both. It's important to do both. But let's get real for a minute. Let's get real with real people and real issues, just as Jesus did every day of his ministry. Let's get real with the either or of gun control and call BS on this false dilemma. Let's look for the truth that will not only set us free, but might make us a little angry along the way. I think this is where it will be. Because once again, I think we're all guilty in this regard. You'll hear either you own and support guns and the NRA and then are guilty by association of the atrocities that we see in our schools, or you don't. You might also hear either you support the Second Amendment and our freedoms, or you don't, and they're going to come take my guns. No and no. Both are wrong. Now, I didn't grow up with guns myself personally, and I don't own any right now. But a whole bunch of my very closest friends right now to this day, those same friends who have children in the Orono schools, own guns. Responsibly, respectfully. They teach their children the same thing. Respectful, responsible ownership and use of guns. That does not make them bad people or responsible for what we see happening. You cannot do that either or. And secondly, measured common sense laws that protect our children do not have to threaten our freedoms. You just can't go there either. No more either ors. But going to our moral hearts and our creative minds, we can live into what it means to be a purple church. Living evidence that God can do more with us than we ever could have imagined when we can come together around these things that really matter. No more either ors. Like the scarecrow stuck in the field, unable to do what he was created to do, we've become stuck and hung up, unable to do what we were created to do. And like Scarecrow, we've had an encounter with the one who leads us to new life. We've had an encounter with the living God in Jesus, who spoke truth to BS, who led with civility, and who refused to succumb to an either or. I can't tell you what to go and do with the freedom that you have in His truth. Say prayers. Join a march. Donate blood. Call your elected officials. All of the above. None of the above. For to tell you what I think you should do would be hypocritical and antithetical to everything I've just said. Instead, I'm going to take a page right out of Jesus' playbook. Speak my peace with genuine love and concern in my heart, and leave the rest to you and God. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Amen.